Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Ah, look, your favourite podcast is back, apart from the rest is history. Welcome to another guilt-ridden gathering here on Confessions with your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. Matt.
Yes.
Matt.
Yes, point at me, yes.
Matt.
Yes.
Matt.
Go. Yes.
Matt.
Yes.
Go.
Go! Oh, right, so we did the go bit now. Go! Yeah. Yeah. Standing oh, wow. by.
Sorry, that's not going to work.
No.
Sister Susie is not in the pub, but actually in the studio.
I am indeed.
Anyway, which is a lovely thing, and you're very welcome. We've tidied up the studio because we know you'd inspect it.
Excellent.
Brother Matt hasn't done anything, really.
No. Nope.
Just sitting in the gutter. Sister Holly from the tack cupboard.
Absolutely, yes.
Are you going to be wearing Christmas gear next week?
I can be wearing Christmas gear next week.
What Should do we? You class as Christmas
That's
gear?
That's such a good question.
Well, sort of jeans and a sweatshirt.
Yeah, I thought that's what I would. That's my standard. Yeah.
Do you think?
Christmas yeah, why gear. Not?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yep,
right.
Done.
So that's the wardrobe sorted. I'll send around a spreadsheet. Coming up, we're going to be catching up. Wouldn't that be great if we had to coordinate our clothing together?
Yes. Oh, wow.
Everyone who's in the studio had to wear the same thing, same colour. This is a very
well,
good
we
idea.
Just have to wear navy most of the time.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah,
all right.
Yes.
Let's just do that.
Good idea.
So later we're going to catch up with our correspondents on the parish notice board, including a dip into the Mark Knopfler section. Of course, stories too appalling or illegal to be included on the show. Also, you'll get all of the confessions which were included on the show because they're brilliant. Tamsin, for example, is very familiar with a stranger. In her tale, it's like a heat wave burning in my heart. The first of our festive confessions was full of sibling rivalry from Sabrina and her brother in Living in a Plastic Age. Fritz's confession, Frohe Weihnachten. You're welcome. But first, that's German for
yeah,
Happy
is it?
Christmas.
Is it? Oh, right. I knew there was a night in there. Yeah.
I just thought you might be.
No. I'm impressed. Very impressed.
Yeah.
Yes.
But somehow not. But first, we're going to join Tufty for an impromptu stag do, which ends rather badly for the stag. Run, baby, run.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone.
What?
Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Okay, so today's confession has a 15 certificate.
Uh-oh.
15 certificate, ladies and gentlemen, and it comes from Tufty. Simon, Matt, Susie, and Canada. Yes. Further to your request for Canadian confessions, this is a while back, it reminded me of a sin I committed back in the 80s, for which I have longed for forgiveness ever since. Back in those days, I frequented a popular pub situated on a dual carriageway on the outskirts of a Midlands town, city or village. On one particular night, we were introduced to a lad called John. Now, John had come all the way here from Canada to marry his childhood sweetheart, Sarah, with the wedding set for this coming weekend. Since John didn't really know anyone in the UK, he asked Sarah if he could go out with her brother, Oggy, for a drink, and perhaps meet a few of his friends. Well, Sarah was very reluctant, as she knew what some of Oggy's friends were like, which, as you might have guessed, including myself, Tufty. After much nagging, Sarah eventually relented and gave John permission to go out for a quiet drink, on the proviso that Oggy swore to her, on his life, that he would look after John and take very special care of him. Oggy assured her that it would be a quiet Monday night down this particular pub, near the dual carriageway. So he was hardly likely to come to any harm, was he? Nevertheless, Oggy was left under no illusion that if anything did happen to John, then he would pay dearly. So, John was brought down to the pub and introduced to our crowd. As we chatted and got to know John, we told him that since this was to be his last night out before his upcoming marriage, the evening had been upgraded to his stag night, and therefore it was our duty to make sure he had a night to remember. As the conversation continued, I told John I certainly remembered my stag night. How could anyone forget having one of their eyebrows shaved off just a week before the wedding, I questioned. My wife-to-be was not happy at all. I looked a right muppet in the wedding photos, I added. They shave one of your eyebrows off on your stag night, quizzed John with a look of horror on his face. Yes, but it grew back after 3 months, I said, smirking. At least it was only an eyebrow that you lost, said Alan. On my stag night, you shaved my blooming head completely. Oh, yes, that was really funny. We all laughed in agreement. It never did grow back fully, moaned Alan, rubbing his somewhat receding hairline. Canadian John looked on dismayed. Well, this opened the floodgates, with each and every one recalling stories of what happened on their own stag nights in true Monty Python Four Yorkshiremen fashion.
Oh, yes.
Each story getting more and more outlandish than the last, from being chained to a lamppost to waking up on a ferry to Stockholm. Each person recounted the horrors of their own stag night. John was somewhat perturbed, although Oggy did try and assure him that he was in safe hands and nothing would happen to him. As the tales of our stag night antics ended and the conversation turned to other topics, we got to know John a bit better, and it was apparent he was a really nice lad, and he got on with us splendidly. As 10:30 loomed, which sadly was closing time back in those days, I thought it would be a shame to end the night so soon, so perhaps we should take John to a club, continuing our drinking and celebrate his stag night in style. What shall we do with John? I asked, wondering which club I should take him to. For some reason, John got the complete wrong end of the stick, and as a look of complete panic came over his face, he decided to bolt for it. Like a bat out of hell and as quick as his legs could carry him, John ran straight past the bar, out of the large double doors at the front of the pub, and into the darkness of the car park. Without pausing for breath, he continued past the bus stop and across the main road, taking care to look to the left to make sure that no cars were coming. Which is why, unfortunately, looking left isn't much good in this country as the cars come from the right. Which is why, as we exited the large double doors, we were just in time to see John flying through the air as he bounced off the bonnet of a Ford Cortina.
What?
Now it was our turn to panic. However, after a few moments, we were greatly relieved to see that he was okay. When I say he was okay, he only had a broken leg, but everything else was fine.
Okay.
As we all stood and watched, John was in surprisingly good spirits as he was taken away. He was just relieved he wasn't going to have his eyebrows shaved or tied to a lamppost. Well, Simon, here's the confession. There were no previous stag night escapades. In fact, I think only one of our crowd was actually married at the time, and his stag night had been a boring affair in High Wycombe. Yes, we'd made the whole thing up. I started it as a bit of a wind-up, and the rest just joined in. Therefore, I beg forgiveness from John, Sarah and Oggy for not looking after John, as we should have. However, on the bright side, John and Sarah made the front page of the Coventry Evening Telegraph, with a picture of him and his leg fully plastered. The other good news was that the wedding still went ahead as planned, and believe it or not, despite what had happened, we were all invited, so everyone was happy and had a great time. Well, perhaps not quite so much for John, who got married in a wheelchair. Sarah forgave Oggy, eventually. In fact, in later years, Oggy joined John and Sarah in Canada, raising his own family there. So, Simon, I beg forgiveness, although in mitigation, the Canadians should probably learn to drive on the right side of the road, which, of course, is the heart of the problem.
Yeah.
If only they followed the logic there. So it's a shocker, but everything is okay in the end, Sister Susie. So maybe you're going to smile on this person or not.
I don't think it is okay in the end. He had to get married in a wheelchair and he got run over by a car because you were having a joke and a prank.
Well, there was that.
It's not funny. It's danger and danger.
High voltage.
Indeed. And I don't like pranks at the best of times, but this one, someone got hurt. Not forgiving Tufty at all. Poor John.
All right, fair enough. Brother from another guy.
Well, I'm going to forgive. Number one, I mean, John's in charge of looking where he's going when he's crossing the road, and it's up to him to look to the right instead of the left. So he's to blame for that. Also, who takes the word of someone called Oggy to do what you want them to do? Never going to happen. Oggy's giving you his word. Good luck with that. So yes, I'm going to forgive. And they all ended up in Canada anyway. They were all invited to the wedding. We went fine, even though he was in the wheelchair with his leg in plaster. So everything turned out well. So I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
You make absolutely no sense there.
Again, I think I make total sense. Nation agreeing with me again.
Let me just check with Holly. Did that make any sense to you?
No,
Susie?
Not at all.
No.
Nah.
Yeah. Sorry. Nation agrees with me.
Right. I think you're a dangerous populist leader.
Wow, we're going down that route.
Yes, what I'm saying is, regardless of the evidence, you've decided what everybody thinks.
That's the way the wind's blowing.
Is that right?
Is it?
Yep.
Anyway, before we head back to the confessional booth, it's time to catch up with a few bits and pieces on the parish notice board, which is nicely decorated with tinsel, obviously. Firstly, over to Matt to catch us up on the very latest news.
Yes, the latest news is that we are only interested in your five-star reviews. That is how it works. So let's bask in the glory of your kind words and adoration. Five stars, says MD Cal. MD Cal? MD Cal.
That's a one.
MD
yeah,
key one. Wow.
That makes okay. even less. That's even
it
less helpful.
Makes no sense. Yes. Outstanding show, says MD key one. One of the best podcasts you can get. Be a long running fan. What? Be a long running fan of the show and
being,
the TV.
I think.
Being a long running. Great work, MD Cal one. Being a long-running fan of the show and the TV show, different times,
yes.
Always made me laugh out loud listening, which in certain circumstances needs a little explaining. Keep up the good work. The Rickster, five stars, classic. Excellent, he says. Simon, Matt, Susie and Holly are all here on the podcast. Give this one space in your weekly listens as you'll be laughing out loud as more sinners seek absolution for their horrendous crimes. I can only give five stars, but it deserves more.
Why do you think the Rickster is a he?
Well, that's true. It could be a she.
Although it's the kind of nickname that a bloke would go, "Hi, I'm the Rickster." People call me the Rickster. And, or you mean you're just called Bob Ricks or something?
Are there any girls' names Rick?
Well,
Rick, Rich, Rick.
Surname could be.
Surname could be.
Same reason
it? Yeah.
why.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bob Rickster might be called Bob, the Rickster. Bob
anyway,
Rickster.
We'll move on at that crucial juncture. Got an email here from Sally. Christmas greetings to the team. I'm getting in touch in hopes of being able to request some tat from Holly for my sister Alex. Are you paying attention to
me
there?
I am,
there?
Yes.
I
husband.
What did I say?
Sister.
Easy to confuse.
Wow. Holly. Feeling better about my Rickster.
My husband Alex, I was thinking of sister Holly. He is a long-time listener across various platforms and has had a couple of chats with Simon over the years when requesting songs. Simon might perhaps remember speaking to him during lockdown about his Lego business and the fact that he was also an ordained Church of Scotland minister. He very much enjoyed the Lego Vicar title that he was given by other listeners. As you might imagine, the Lego selling business and the ministerial responsibilities both ramp up at this time of year and are currently keeping Alex extremely busy. You'd imagine if you're selling Lego and you're a priest...
Yeah,
Christmas. He sells Lego and he's a priest.
Yeah, basically he gets up into the pulpit and says, "Who wants a Star Wars Lego?"
Is it built or in pieces?
It's probably in pieces, but over the course of his extremely long sermon, he will build it.
Oh, right.
And
therefore
make an analogy about life.
Isn't it a bit like life?
Exactly. He'll say something like that.
Nice. Yeah.
Mm. And Sally says, "I thought it might be a nice surprise if a lovely drive time mug was to appear in the post sometime in the new year, so that he can sit with his feet up and a nice cup of tea once all the busyness is over, what with all that Lego and priestly selling. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love listening to the Confessions podcast, especially on the rare occasions when Susie forgives and Matt doesn't. Thank you for all the bringing of joy and hilarity that you do. Many thanks, Sally." Let's check with Lady Tat. What do you think?
Well, it sounded like a nice message, to be fair. And the fact that he is a church minister and sells Lego is original. I've never heard of that
before.
It
certainly is original.
Mm.
Okay, so a mug, Sally, definitely is going to be yours, in quotes, sometime in the new year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, Matt, you have a mug request as well.
Yes,
I
do. I have this email from Andrew titled...
Try and make it live off the page.
It's living off the page. It's already ready. Just jumping with it. Titled Third Grovelling Email. Good morning, everyone, especially Holly Tatmaster.
I've recently
messaged you about your lovely tat in your cupboard. Remember me? My wife didn't like the podcast. She loved it. I remember. Well, this is my third and last attempt to try and achieve my aim. And not leave empty-handed this time. Last time I wrote in, I forgot to mention Holly and the Ivy Christmas reference, hashtag emoji Santa hat, which was my error, obviously. She's a valued member of the team, and I rate her highly.
Yeah!
I've also gained you a listener, as my sister Elaine now listens regularly to your podcast, and she rates it five stars, stars, emojis. hopefully, I've achieved my aim. Thank you in anticipation. P.S. I love the Lady in the Grave confession last week. Your best fan forever, Andrew in Bristol.
You made that sound really creepy.
Your best fan. It did sound a little clay misty for me, didn't it? But I'm sure that's not Andy in Bristol. Big fan of the show.
Do you get a lot of Holly and Ivy stuff at this time of year?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
That's kind of your parents' fault.
Sort of, I suppose. Or the classic, were you born at Christmas? No, I wasn't. Yeah.
So that's the end of that conversation.
Exactly, yeah, pretty much.
Were you born at Christmas?
No.
I've got a tap request I think you'll like from Ray. He said, dear legend Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Simon.
No, that's the wrong way around.
And the wonderful sisters, Holly and Susie.
Lovely.
My son Thomas is an avid new listener to the Confessions podcast and listens to a new confession every morning on the way to his new secondary school in the car with me. As a 12-year-old, the podcast has given him worldly education of all things acceptable in the 80s and the 90s and prior, but not now. He continues to shout, danger, danger, high voltage in science lessons at school. He also tells his form tutor the excuse that it's the system.
Oh, good man.
While wishing that Matt's common sense should be a compulsory subject at school. So for that reason, please can I have some tap for the cupboard to surprise him at Christmas? Hashtag emoji Ray.
Brilliant.
So for that reason.
Yeah, he's ticked every box there, hasn't he? He's done very well.
Okay, hold Thomas, on. This is for you. I love the fact that in science, where obviously voltage comes into the electrical equation.
It does, indeed does.
That he might actually be shouting the words from Electric Six.
Yeah.
Let's go for it. Thomas, after you.
Danger, danger. High voltage.
It's the way he says voltage, which voltage. I just like, makes him sound like Michael Howard, who, Holly, was an old leader of the Conservative Party.
Thank you.
Back in the day. Keep your additions to the parish notice board coming, please. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Does Ray get some tap, by the way?
He does, although he says, can we have it in time for Christmas?
No.
Yeah, it will be a Christmas miracle if it arrives in time for Christmas.
But you'll get something.
Yeah, something will arrive at some point.
Right, a couple of mentions now to Mr. Paney, Janine Moore, Mr. Sean 99, Stephen Hill and Michael Patterson, who were amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase, which was, of course, questionable brownies. Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast.
Indeed, I will.
That's the thing you have to try and remember to do.
Yeah, I will. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shall I text you something?
If you could. That'd be great.
Now it's time for the section of the podcast that lurks in the shadows, the not-for-broadcast, the Mark Knopfler section. These confessions are too outrageous, too indecent, or frankly too stomach-turning to even grace the airwaves of drive time, starting with Carol. I mean, there was no question about this one. Carol, working in retail at Christmas time can be a thankless task, but admitting to pocketing items from the shop floor that you could fit into your pockets, like lipstick, to make your day better is just actually theft.
Yeah, it is just theft.
And it got even worse when you dropped an item in the bag of a rude customer. She set off the alarms on her way out and the security guard gave her a proper grilling when they found something in her bag that wasn't on the receipt, and that's because you put it there.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Bad.
As if we're going to...
No, no, that's not going out. That would definitely be on the air. No.
Just pass all your details to the constabulary. And no, we won't do that.
No.
And the same can be said for Trevor, who, while working as a courier, decided to misplace any parcels sent by designer brands. They later mysteriously were sold on second-hand platform.
Why is this?
Basically, your offence. Yeah, you're basically writing into the show, admitting to committing crimes.
I'm wondering whether people have misunderstood what the confessions feature is about. Yes. They're supposed to be nice, funny stories. They're not supposed to be, and then I committed this crime. Is that okay now?
And then I robbed a bank.
Yes. But am I absolved?
But it's a long time ago, so I'm sure I'll be forgiven.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Can I blame the system? No, you're a thief.
No.
All right, okay, so they are definitely not going to be included or referenced ever again. Daisy, it doesn't matter how much your friend had turned into Bridezilla, they do not deserve to be taken down a peg or two by spiking a drink or with laxatives.
What? Oh, not again. The laxatives again?
Yeah.
If it's got the lax in it, it's not getting on air. Don't waste your time.
No. Mm-hmm. Disappointing.
How many times do we have to say this? Anyway, enough of that. Time to get back to the confessions that did make the cut, that don't make a reference to laxative or criminal behaviour. Mm-hmm. We head to an overheated bookshop with pet names for Tamsin's confession. It's like a heat wave burning in my heart.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Dear Father Simon and the Collective, I write to confess to something so embarrassing, I hardly dare say it. But I've trained myself to write the words which still make me flush red with embarrassment and to sweat profusely.
Oh, dear.
It all began when my husband and I first got married 30 years ago. We saved and bought our first flat together and would really have liked to have had a pet. But alas, the lease stated that we were not to have any animals. Classic landlord oppression of the workers, rise up and fight the system.
Okay.
A slight diversion. Yes. Anyway, says Tamsin, at first we stuck by the rules, but eventually decided that a hamster hardly constitutes a threat to the fabric of the building, surely. Small and rodenty and only slightly smelly. Come on, landlord. We considered this a fine compromise. No pets, no, but a hamster.
Okay.
That's all right. Mm-hmm. So we went to the local pet shop and we bought a pinky beige hamster and named it Piglet. We did think about calling it Tank or Cupcake, but we went with Piglet. Seems reasonable. Piglet was our light and our joy. We would let her run around the flat where she managed to shin up the back of the wardrobe, scrap in the corners of the rooms, and explore every nook and cranny. On weekend mornings, we would get Piglet out of her cage and she would share our Cheerios by stuffing her little pouches full of them. I'm not sure that's a particularly healthy option.
No, but never mind.
Our home began to center entirely around our furry friend. Now, Confessions regulars might be fearing the worst for Piglet, but worry not. Mm-hmm. Piglet was credited with having picked the winning lottery numbers, which gave us a £10 win.
Okay, probably didn't. No.
Conversations began to incorporate our cute little pet. Instead of saying, I'm hungry, we would say, I'm a hungry hamster. If we were cold, we'd say, I'm a cold hamster. You get the drift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Matt's frowning in disapproval. Anyway, one day, we were shopping in an unnecessarily warm bookshop in Cambridge, and I turned to my husband and said, I'm a hot little hamster.
Oh, come on.
But to my horror, realised that my husband was actually on the other side of the shop.
Oh,
and
no.
I just told a complete stranger instead, an elderly chap with silver hair and an elderly wife. Oh, are you? He said.
Oh, yes, I am.
What did she say? Said the man's wife.
Oh, no.
She said she's a hot little hamster, said the man, flushing red as he spoke. The woman looked furious. Hussy, she hissed. Needless to say, had I tried to explain the context, it would have made things even worse. So I hurried out of the shop and hoped that I would never see the man or the woman again. That's it, Father Simon. I beg forgiveness for startling the poor shopper and his overly aggressive wife in the bookshop and throw myself upon your and the collective mercy. Because all I was trying to say was I was a hot little hamster. It didn't mean what the old guy thought it meant. Anyway, it's an easy mistake to make. You think you're standing next to your other half. You say something and then it gets misunderstood completely. Sister Susie, what do you say?
Well, Tamsin, do you know what? I was worried where we were going with this one. Because
normally, any mention of a hamster, it's not good for the hamster.
Yeah,
yeah, it's good to have a hamster confession that we can actually do on the radio. And I, you know, I can't imagine how embarrassed you must have felt. I've done that a couple of times, not to that extent, and where I've just started talking to someone in the supermarket and before I turned around properly realised that's not who I'm with.
Right, but you've never said anything like, I'm a hot little hamster.
But no, I've never said anything like, I'm a hot little hamster. And I think for that reason, she should get forgiveness because how embarrassing.
It's going to be Matt's code phrase when we get to the podcast
yes,
on Friday.
I think so.
I suspect. What do you say, brother Matt?
I have to say, I normally would frown on the I'm a cold little hamster, I'm a hot little hamster, all of that sort of talk between couples. That's not on at all. Don't approve of that.
No.
But are we I think we are overlooking the real culprit here, and that is the bookshop for having the heating on far too high.
Oh,
that she was very hot. If
Classic.
She's too hot and it's it's the middle of winter, then clearly that heating is up far too high. That bookshop needs to bring it down at least 3 or 4 degrees. I'm not paying to heat the street. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
What is it with you and temperatures and radiators?
Yes,
and all that
absolutely
kind of stuff?
Scandalous.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I can't imagine the scenario why you'd be paying for the bookshop heating.
Yeah. No, well, and maybe in a way I am by the paying for the prices in the bookshop. That's how I'm paying for the heating. And the heating doesn't need to be... And also, you'd feel a bit more lethargic in that kind of heat, I think. You don't want to be lethargic in a bookshop.
I think you're floundering, really.
No, I don't think I'm also spot on.
Still to come on the Confessions podcast, we have the first of our festive confessions involving ruining Christmas with Sabrina in Living in a Plastic Age. But first, it's Fritz's confession, Frohe Weihnachten, which is German.
Is it German, is it?
For happy Christmas.
Yes.
Shh, shh, shh. We won't tell anyone. What's your secret? Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Father Simon and your festive forgivers, I seek forgiveness for a sin committed back in 1985. Back in those days, people enjoyed the simple pleasures of life and laughed at jolly japes.
Oh, no.
That's not a promising start, is it? The sin I'm seeking forgiveness for took place in a small market town in mid-Wales where nothing much happens. But Christmas is eagerly anticipated, with the highlight being the ritual switching on of the Christmas lights from the balcony of the town hall. In order to fund such an extravagance as electric lights, the town council would hold a fundraising event, culminating with the mayor turning on the lights with great ceremony, followed by lots of oohs and ahs.
Wow.
That's your drama voice.
Okay.
Back in 1985, the town council went all in and held a Bavarian evening. Never known in these parts before. No expense spared, with a proper umpah band and a bar. It was a must on the social calendar. Too good to miss. Tickets were booked. And that same weekend, I was entertaining a guest from that there London who found mid-Wales quaint. To quote my London guest, I told him of this upcoming spectacular event, which he probably thought rather parochial. I also told him that it was, of course, a Bavarian-themed fancy dress event, which it was not. Oh. The day arrived and my London friend, who we will call Neil, went to get ready for the evening that held so much promise. We were astounded. I mean, really astounded, when all 6'4" of Neil descended our stairs decked out in full Bavarian garb. Brogues, knee-length woolen socks, leather lederhosen, check shirt and Tyrolean hat with a feather.
Wow.
What a sight. What a spectacle.
Amazing.
Neil asked about our fancy dress outfits, to which we told him we were going to get togged up later. And off we went into town. We partook of a few pre-event sherbets, during which time Neil asked, "You aren't getting dressed up, are you?" To which I replied, "No." "But you are going to be German tonight." To which he replied, "Jawohl." So we arrived at the town hall and made quite an entrance. Around here, everyone knows everyone else. So who was this funky outsider in funny clothes, speaking in a funny language? None of us actually had mastered German, but had lifted a few key phrases from Kraftwerk and the odd war movie.
Oh, no.
And then we just made things up. To quote Neil, "Jawohl, ich Schnieberhausen Karl-Heinz Rummeniger, Gerhard Müller, you see, also der Schniffenhausen und der Autobahn, fun, und der Autobahn, do you see? Luckily, no one else spoke German to question us, although I think it was quite obvious. The only other people in Bavarian dress were the umpah band, and they were from Bradford.
As the evening
wore on, we became more fluid and fluent. We were then approached by the local newspaper reporter. We thought that the game was up, but no, he wanted to interview our honoured guest, the Bavarian, 6'4". It didn't go well at first. The reporter could not get our German guest to understand his questions, so I had to step up and translate. It got a lot better, and we were inspired by the reporter getting his scoop. German Neil did spell some parts out phonetically, which was a challenge for the reporter, and was hilarious for us, but we managed to hold on to it as we were now in too deep to change the story. He spelled out his name as Heinz Berger, which was duly entered into the reporter's pad. Neil said, "Jawohl, so, This sonne scheint mit Glitzerstrahl. Do you see Beckenbauer, yes? The reporter shrugged and said to me our German guest wasn't very bright, thinking German Neil couldn't understand. It then got serious. We were introduced to the mayor and his entourage. It then got scary because we were invited onto the balcony for the switching on of the Christmas lights. Guten Abend! shouted Neil. The reporter took a photograph and the lights were turned on. Oohs and ahs, indeed. The story appeared in the local newspaper along with a photograph of both Neil, he's the tall guy in the funny hat, and myself beaming out, and I still have a copy. But most of the community still laugh about it. Like I said, nothing much happens around here. But I do wish to apologise, not to the reporter for leading him on, or for the mayor, but to the German nation for corrupting their fine language. Yours beseechingly, Fritz. Well, I think this is one of those Christmas tales that I think our culture needs to learn a few extra words.
Yes, why not?
Hither and thither. And nice to see Glitzenstrahl, Beckenbauer and Karl-Heinz Rummenigge being mentioned for the first time. Sister Suze, what do you say?
Well, like I understand it was a bit of fun, but, it, you know, I don't like pranks. And it just went a bit too far, didn't it? You know, you were on there with the mayor. That's a bit dangerous. You could have been anyone, couldn't you? And I just think it's all a bit funny. Heinz Burger. You should have known then you were all
The reporter doesn't...
joke.
If anyone's not bright, it's the reporter,
yeah,
I'm thinking.
But I just... bit silly, I'm afraid. Fritz... not going to forgive you.
Okay, Brother Matthew.
I'm going to forgive, and frankly, I think everyone pretty much rumbled it, including the reporter. I think the reporter realised that this is what's going on, but frankly...
or his editor would have said, who?
Exactly, but I need a story, otherwise this is just going to be the dull umpire band that I'm going from Bradford that I'm going to be interviewing. So I'll go with Neil, the 6'4" person called Fritz. I'm definitely going to forgive. Where on earth does he get all the gear in the middle of Wales?
Woolen socks,
in the 80s?
Lederhosen.
The Tyrolean hat.
Yes.
Where's that coming from? So he's done well, hasn't he? So we should applaud that. So, yes, definitely forgiven.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Dear Simon, Brother Matt, the Sisters of Forgiveness, and the whole collective. With Christmas upon us, I find myself reflecting on a story that weighs a bit on my conscience. I believe enough time has passed for me to share it without facing too much backlash, especially since my brother and mother, despite my encouragement, don't listen to your show.
What?
Or podcast.
Right, that's that.
Okay. They're unlikely to hear it unless I mention that they might become the stars of the tale. They appear shallow, Sabrina,
yes,
to me. Also, a mother and brother with poor taste. Never mind. My story begins in the early 2000s when I was living at home with my mother in her four-bedroom house. My brother had recently moved out with his girlfriend, who would soon become his wife. For more details on that, see my other confession about their wedding day. Okay. It was Christmas, and my brother decided to spend Christmas Eve at our family home, which was big of him, to enjoy dinner and gifts with us before heading to his new place with his girlfriend. Growing up, there had always been a lot of finger-pointing and blame when things went wrong or items got broken around the house. Many of these incidents were unfairly attributed to me, even though some were, believe it or not, my brother's doing. A lot of sibling rivalry inherently in the middle of this confession. When he agreed to join me at the pub with some friends on Christmas Eve, I was excited. Unfortunately, he wasn't used to drinking and capitulated early, heading home around 11:30. I stayed until the pub closed at 12:30, taking full advantage of the mistletoe. Hello. Upon returning home, I found him sprawled on the sofa, snoring loudly. Before waking him, I decided to grab a late-night snack. I took out a spare packet of pigs in blankets from the fridge, turned on the oven and popped them in. I then settled into a chair in the kitchen and waited. And waited and waited. Time seemed to stand still, and as fatigue set in, perhaps aided by the alcohol, who knows, I dozed off for a minute. I jolted awake to the sound of the alarm from the freshly cleaned oven. Peering through the glass, I noticed a strange smell and realised that the plastic tray I had used had melted completely, dripping down to the bottom shelf. Panic set in and I quickly devised a plan to avoid being blamed for this disaster and spoiling Christmas. I turned the oven down, slipped out of the kitchen and snuck upstairs to change into my festive pyjamas. I made a pit stop in the bathroom where I made as much noise as possible, flushed the loo with the door open and cheerfully wished my mother a happy Christmas as she stirred awake in her bed. I shut my bedroom door just in time to hear her head downstairs, and an enormous argument erupted. I could hear my mother angrily lamenting the state of the kitchen, while my brother, confused and groggy, protested his innocence, or at least his lack of memory, about his kitchen escapades. I eventually dozed off as the chaos continued. On Christmas morning, I was bubbling with excitement as I went down to wake my mother and brother, only to find neither of them in their beds. As I descended the stairs, I found my mother sitting sternly on the kitchen chair, and my brother was on his hands and knees, scrubbing away the remnants of melted plastic from inside the oven. He looked rather worse for wear, having been up for hours cleaning up the mess I was responsible for. Father Simon, I don't seek forgiveness from my brother, and that's just sibling rivalry. But I do ask for forgiveness from my mother, who had spent the entire week preparing for her prodigal son's return, only for him to ruin it for both of them. She still brings up that Christmas 20 years later as the one that my brother ruined. So here's the truth, Mum. It was me.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that this is good enough to get Sabrina's mother to actually listen to the show?
That'd be nice.
And listen to the podcast. Obviously, Sabrina is not her real name. But a classic family story of a Christmas ruined and the blame passed to the brother when it's the sister's fault. Sister Holly speaks.
Well, it was bad behaviour all round, really. The fact that at the end she says, "I don't ask for forgiveness from my brother." Why? You blamed it all on him.
Yes.
And he did absolutely nothing wrong. It was all your fault. Who needs to use the oven for a midnight snack? That's my question. What's wrong with a packet of crisps? Why did you have to put the oven on at midnight?
I suppose there is... I mean, they're not very substantial, though, are they?
Yeah, but at midnight, do you really need a whole meal at midnight?
Yes,
I don't.
I do.
Just use a packet of crisps. Would have been absolutely fine.
But think of the salt intake.
But it would be salty with what she was
putting in the oven.
It all was bad. Anyway, all not very good. And she woke up her mum in the middle of the night as well. Everything about this, sick and wrong, not forgiving.
Definitely. Glad we got there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brother Matthew.
So I'm going to forgive. I'm going to pin the blame on the mother and the brother who can't be bothered listening to our show. Mm-hmm. So big shock there. Number one.
That shows moral depravity.
Yes, it does. It does indeed. Number one, brother, snooze you lose. If you fall asleep on the sofa, then that's what gets what's coming to you.
Yes.
That's definitely what the phrase is. I'm very happy with that. Not a massive fan of flushing the loo when the door's open. Got to say, a little bit of a faux pas there.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's certainly sending some kind of message. And it's the mother's fault, isn't it, for buying pigs in blankets in plastic. So for those reasons,
yes.
I'm going to forgive.
Right, okay.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
You said that's what gets what coming to you.
Yeah, no, I think that phrase made perfect sense. Very happy with that again.
So
yeah.
You don't have any plastic trays?
Plastic? Well, not plastic that you would put in the oven, you see. Yes. I always make sure when I'm buying stuff, is that going in the oven, I say to myself.
Imagine what it's like.
And then if it is, it's on a plastic tray, we're not buying it.
You don't decant it into another...
No.
Like a baking tray.
What I do is everything I buy goes directly into the oven or not. That is the... credo when going around the supermarket.
We move on. what did we... Yes, of course we got some sibling rivalry on the people's verdict. Like this.
Laura in Redhill in Surrey, though, says, forgiven, the prodigal son needs to come down a peg or two. And as someone with a brother who can never do any wrong, I'm considering reenacting this scene to level the playing field in our family.
Everything in the end boils down to where you are in the pecking order. Older brother, younger sister, or middle kid, or whatever, only child. Everything is dependent on that, really, as to how you react to these confessions. And please send your own to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. They're really... Yes, we'll take some. There might be some Christmas. There might be some room for some more Christmas confessions still.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sneak one in there. Maybe a nativity confession, a carol service, and if we can avoid. Okay, here's one that won't get included. I went to the pub. I had too many to drink. I went to the midnight mass and I embarrassed myself.
Yeah, yeah. Not getting on. Sorry.
That's not getting on.
Boring.
Or I went to the pub. I put some laxative.
Oh, no.
And then I stole a car.
Yes.
Stole someone's presents.
Yes. Yeah. That's not getting on either. No. So no. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. That's about it, I think. Let me just check. Yes, that's about it for the show. If you've been inspired by any of them, send yours to our usual email, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now it's over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
And as previously advertised, it is hot little hamster.
Yes, hard
hot
to beat that.
Little hamster.
If you're interested, then please stick it in some kind of social media posting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Threads.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's right. Mr. Simon Mayo. Blue Sky.
Correct.
Simon Mayo. That's it. They're the only means, I think.
Are there any other means?
I mean, it's up to Susie, really.
Well.
You could call in.
Yeah, yeah.
You could. We might not be here.
Pop round to Holly's house.
Yeah, yeah.
Put
knock
a
on
note
the door.
Through,
yeah,
yeah, along yeah. with the menus.
Yes.
And the estate agents. Just say.
Yeah.
Code
no.
phrase.
Yep.
Hot little hamster. Finally, don't forget to share the Confessions podcast with a friend, because that is true love. Until next time, from the pub, but actually in the studio, Sister Susie says...
Ta-ra!
From the tack cupboard, Sister Holly.
Toodles!
Very young and contemporary.
Very.
Brother Matt.
Goodbye.
Very conventional.
Yeah, I thought so.
Thank you very much indeed for listening. When's the next podcast going to be around?
Next week.
Traditionally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm. Look out for the new one, We Don't Rest Over Christmas.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Holly?
Go.
Matt?
Go.
Susie?
Go.
There you go. See,
right.
It's all fine. It makes perfect sense as far as I'm concerned.